Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So your parish is thinking about entering into the process of raising up a deacon. And I'm here as coordinator of deacons for the diocese to outline what's involved. The usual process involves forming a parish discernment committee. And this parish discernment committee inquires as to what a deacon is and what a deacon would do, and is the Spirit moving us, the congregation, to have one here? Often the process is activated or started if there are one or perhaps more than one people who express an interest in the diaconate or hear a calling. But the key thing, and I will emphasize again, is that the whole parish has to see and discern if, in fact, what's being called for by the Holy Spirit is a deacon in the midst. There we are. We need to have the baptismal promises. There we go. I was going to do this as a test and not show them until you'd actually given them all out. So I do urge you, knowing that this kind of test might happen sometimes, that you should be prepared in future and know what your baptismal promises are. But that's where we need to start. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? This one and the one just before that are particularly critical to our purpose. Oops, and will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Those are all important indeed, and they were made on your behalf, or perhaps you made them yourself. The deacon's role is to encourage, support, cajole, nag, stimulate, activate, but help everyone fulfill in action those baptismal promises. A deacon, as you will hear me say, is a provider of services, but a deacon is most importantly a promoter of services. That is to say, the deacon encourages and then kind of gets out of the way to let people carry out their ministries. Instead of the question about the suitability of a particular candidate or candidates, the big question is your parish called to have a deacon? And would a deacon, if you had one, support your call in service? The diocesan process for becoming a priest includes a first ordination to the diaconate, and this is sometimes called the transitional diaconate. After a suitable time and process, transitional deacons are ordained as priests. What we're talking about here is the same, but not quite the same, sometimes called vocational or permanent or distinctive diaconate. There are three orders of ministers: bishops, priests, and deacons. All of us, and each of us, have elements of all these ministries, but an ordained person is set aside to signify and to lead us all in fulfilling those callings. It's useful to think about how priests and deacons and bishops each represent different aspects of what Jesus the Christ did and is. In fact, let's take this apart and not say represent, but in fact represent. Bishops, priests, and deacons then represent to the church the roles of Jesus the Christ. The bishop, episcopacy, apostolic succession, connectedness through tradition. Jesus was the great high priest, and priests intercede with and connect us with God. A deacon, Jesus was servant of all. Remember washing of the feet on Monday, Thursday, the love one another command, hanging out, as Jesus did, with some of the wrong people. Notice, too, though, that Jesus did not simply wash feet on Maundy Thursday. He used that as a teaching opportunity to introduce that new commandment. The deacon then represents servanthood, yes, serving of all. But as we will see a little later, all, and I remind you again, all have responsibility for ministry. The deacon does not serve on your behalf, rather the deacon provides an example and support and encouragement so that all can serve. An outward symbol of deacons and the diaconate, you'll notice that my stole is on an angle. That's so that my hands are free to work. This particular one happens to be a gift from a friend of mine who originally came from Sri Lanka. And so I'm proud to be able to wear sarats today. In the liturgy, deacons do some symbolic activities or can do symbolic activities that represent servant ministry. What the deacon does and how the deacon does it, though, is determined locally. It has to fit in with local custom and expectations. The vocational or permanent or perpetual deacon is, in fact, raised up from within the parish to serve in the parish, and so all is locally determined. The symbols must be locally meaningful. A deacon can set the table and do the ablutions. In my context, the ablutions are, in fact, done away in the back, in the sacristy afterwards, not in public view. But again, this is an example of serving. A deacon proclaims the gospel, often bringing it right out to the people. A deacon often says the dismissal, since the deacon is to bring the cares and concerns of the world into the church and then take the church back out into the world, sending us outward. Remember then, a deacon's focus is to get all of us out there. The incumbent or the priest in charge is the bishop's representative, and a deacon reports to the bishop, but through the incumbent. A deacon doesn't preside at Eucharist. A deacon can't give blessings. That's a priestly role. A number of things, though, that a deacon can't be, which certainly my wife appreciates too, is that a deacon can't be the warden, a deacon can't be the treasurer, and neither can his spouse. Now, my wife happens to be once again drafted to be the coordinator of the altar guild. So when I'm doing the setting up of the table and the ablutions, I have to be really careful because any spills that might happen are going to have long-term effects when I get home too. And if there is an altar cloth to iron because the wine has spilled, well, anyway, you get the idea. A deacon also has to be really, really careful when the incumbent or the priest in charge moves to a new position. There's a temptation for the deacon to kind of take over. The deacon is raised up within a parish, and I guess of the 50 deacons in our diocese, 48 deacons have in fact stayed in the congregation from which they were raised up. It's not generally the case in our diocese that deacons move around. So the deacon would stay in the parish when the incumbent or the priest in charge moves or leaves. The temptation then for the deacon is to tell the incoming replacement priest how things are done, where to stand, and what to say and when to say it. A deacon has to be really careful to not do that and to stay out of the way. On the other hand, a deacon is no longer a volunteer. A deacon is committed to serve and doesn't have to ask the question about whether or not it's a good idea to do whatever the calling may be. A deacon knows and a deacon understands that they are to serve. A fundamental requirement of a deacon is that they have a special kind of ministry, usually separate from the congregation in which they serve, but which works as an example, as a model for everyone. Remember, a provider of service, yes, but also promoter. I volunteer at the front desk of Community Information Fairview. St. Matthew's, where I'm a deacon or serve as a deacon, is located just below Fairview Mall. You may know the area. Fairview Mall is up on a hill, and you can see the lights for miles around at nighttime. You can even think of it as kind of like an Areopagus, that is to say where Paul went to see the unknown God. Although the God's pretty well known, it's a consumerism God, but don't get me started. Anyway, Community Information Fairview is a small outpost that's been in Fairview Mall for more than 40 years. Started by seven local churches in the area around Don Mills and Shepherd. Little wee storefront, we have a legal advice clinic, we have a tax clinic, whole pile of brochures and pamphlets, and me sitting at the front desk. And when somebody comes along and says, where do I find childcare, or I need to I need to know what to do about the problem with my mother at home, what does CCAC stand for? It's my responsibility to look up and find out where that would be. It's a very hard job for me because my inclination would be to tell the executive director how to organize things, and that we need to repaint these walls, and that we need an update of the computer system. What I do is, in fact, sit on the front desk and wait until people come. And I work very hard at squashing the urge to tell the boss what and how to do it. That's modeling. That's modeling a role for everybody else. And I'm certainly very fortunate that it's in the neighborhood, and so people from St. Matthew's come by. And the idea is that they can see me working there, and because of that, they too will undertake some kind of ministry. Other deacons are prison chaplains, hospital chaplains, child psychologists, nurses, teachers in adult education, public health workers. Many earn their living through their diaconal ministry rather than being employed by the church, although in some cases there are deacons who are in fact paid by their church to undertake outreach ministries of various sorts. So it's variable, but generally deacons are non-stipendiary. There's perhaps a small honorarium which represents the covenant-like relationship between the deacon and the congregation. Each month the wardens have to cut me a small check, and I have to receive the small check. And in that exchange, that brings about me being reminded of my responsibilities and them being reminded about my role. It's critical to note, though, that having a deacon is not a way to get inexpensive or nearly free ministers in a church. Yes, deacons can conduct services. Deacons can do some pastoral care and can lead Bible studies and things like that. But again, the focus is from a deacon. A deacon's focus is to take everybody out into the world, where, of course, God is already at work, and we're supposed to, as the line goes, catch up. So a deacon's job is to take us out of here rather than to help run the place here. Normally, running a service, if there is in the absence of a priest, is the role of a lay reader. There are a number of promises that a deacon has to make in ordination. And a number of the things about these promises show and demonstrate the involvement of the congregation itself. A word about the ordination. Ordination of transitional deacons happens at the cathedral, usually the beginning of May each year. The ordination of a deacon who's serving in a parish takes place in the parish, and it's done contextually so that there are arrangements and things that are done. If there was a deacon or deacons being ordained here, it would be done in whatever the St. George on Young way is to do these things. It would be entirely contextual. But notice what some of the questions are. The first one, has he, she been selected in accordance with the canons and customs of this church, and do you believe his, her manner of life to be suitable to the exercise of this ministry? That's a question that the bishop asks from the group that presents the deacon to be ordained. And the next one, too, do you believe, stay with the first one there. So in other words, the parish has selected and discerned that this person or persons are called to be deacons, and they have to stand up in front of the bishop and say so. Now, the next bunch of questions are, in fact, to the person to be ordained. Do you believe that you are truly called by God and his church to the life and work of a deacon, guided by the pastoral direction and leadership of your bishop? For some, that's a tricky one to assert, because it could mean, well, it means that one has to find a role and relationship with the bishop. Although I've found through a variety of bishops that I've experienced that they all have incredibly useful, valuable, and what more can I say, important leadership roles to play. I haven't had any problem with that one. Will you be faithful in prayer and in the reading and the study of Holy Scriptures? Will you look for Christ in all others, being ready to help and serve those in need? Yep, you have to be in that position. But I would emphasize that in the next sentence that says, will you do your best to pattern your life and that of your family in accordance with the teachings of Christ, so that you may be a wholesome example to your people? So there's that example business again. A deacon's role is to, in fact, provide an example and to stimulate, encourage, and cajole others to carry out their baptismal promises. The process, then, of raising up a deacon within the parish usually involves, or does involve, the formation of a parish discernment committee, which considers that question about whether or not it makes sense to have a deacon within the community. If so, then possible nominees are considered. But initially, the point is it a good idea to have a deacon in the parish? Because if it turns out that it isn't a good idea, if the Spirit isn't calling one to have a deacon in the parish, then don't nominate anybody to do that and don't carry out that role. After the committee finishes its work, there is a special vestry called at which two motions are considered, one to call up a deacon and the other to nominate a deacon. Now, it could be more than one deacon. There are a number of parishes that have two or more deacons, and often in this case, St. Dunstan of Canterbury in Scarborough is one really good example. There is a 70-year-old male who's a deacon, and there's a 40-year-old female who is a deacon. You can see already that they're going to be better examples for some different kinds of groups of people. There is every reason then to have more than one deacon, if that's what one is called to do. It is a bit of a long process because the deacon, although serving in a particular parish, is a deacon for the whole church. So the whole church is involved in the selection, discernment, and screening of possible candidates. So it can take a while. We take questions now, or should we come after? Okay. If you have some questions that occur to you now, let me know. If not, we can talk afterwards, too. Any questions or concerns at the moment? Yes? Yes, the question has to do with the age range of a deacon. One of my favorite examples is a 70-year-old candidate who said that he was too old to do this, and it evolved that he needed to go back to theology school and learn some more theology. And he said, I have a PhD in business. I don't want to go to school anymore. So we said, fine. And after 6 months, he came back, and lo and behold, he was called to go to theology school, and he took history and scripture and systematics and whatnot at 70. It would be really good to have more younger deacons. The non-stipendiary business often is a detriment. I mean, I'm a former teacher and blessed with a pension, and so is my wife, and so that income is secure. There's a really strong move afoot to have younger deacons, and I don't know what the youngest level ought to be. I'd love to see a 17 or 18 year old deacon. That would be pretty cool too. Thank you. Other questions? Yes. I certainly will. I'll make sure that that gets in. I gather it's been recorded, so the hard copy will be one thing, but you can get testimony of what I actually said, too, by what's on the voice. But certainly, yeah, that makes sense. Anything else for the moment? May the Lord then uphold you in your discernment, in your seeking, in your finding, and in your work in the community. May the Lord support all involved. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.